Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 700. We made it. Of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by James Dean Rader, Ben Funky Askren, and our special guest for the day, our international man of some mystery. Not that much mystery, John Kozak. You're not that mysterious for an international man.
No.
You're just an international man. And we're going to be international men very soon. Mm-hmm. Kozak and I are flying to Oslo. Not together.
Nope.
He's going to JFK from Oslo. I'm going to Atlanta. But we're going to meet in Oslo. We're leaving today alongside Ollie and Spey. And Mike's going to meet us there, and our shooter David Kuhn's going to be fun times. So it's a big week. It's World's Week. It starts Saturday. Very exciting stuff. But before we get into all that, well, let's check in with the boys. Where are my manners? Ben, how are you? You were in Austin. You have to be sadder now that you're home.
I freaking love Austin. It's such a great, tremendous town. Great, really great stuff. Had a fun time in studio. Had a fun time on my other podcast. Just had a really good time all around. I'm really excited for the Worlds. I actually, you know what? I thought they were like Thursday this week. I didn't realize they didn't start till Saturday, so that's kind of disappointing. But I am excited to watch some wrestling. I do not have a whole bunch scheduled for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, so I should have a lot of time to watch wrestling.
Well planned. Good job. James Dean, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
I'm sorry you're not coming next time.
Yeah, it's okay.
We will be Worlds boys. Someone's got to hold it down here.
That's right.
Because we're not stopping the show.
Me, Bram Bader, baby.
Yeah, that's going to be good. That's going to be good.
And I thought
I think Ben will be involved, right?
And Ben.
Jeez.
Well, we're holding it down.
It's just me and you tomorrow.
Ben will not be here.
We're going to have to do some counseling. Need to keep you guys united. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get into Worlds, this is going to be a very Worlds-heavy show. Some pretty big news. Nick Bouzakis going to be going to Ohio State, and they're putting together quite a class. They got Nick Feldman, who's the pound-for-pound number one. Bouzakis is number three, I believe. Do they have anyone else signed? Or
Shoemate.
Shoemate?
Oh, and another local Ohio kid, state champ, who's not too bad.
So he doesn't know his name. That's why he did not say his name.
That is correct. I am blanking on his name currently.
Okay. Come on, Ben.
Fair enough.
Bouzakis to Ohio State, definitely, it felt all along like that they were the front runner for him. And now, one thing that's interesting as anything about this is, you know, the discussion about Jesse Mendez and how does this impact Jesse Mendez's recruitment. And oftentimes when you get big recruits, similar weight range, it's kind of like okay, he's there, so he won't go to the school probably. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the exact opposite effect for Mendez. I think that I'll say this. Not that it's going to mean that Jesse's going to Ohio State. It is viewed as a positive in the Mendez camp that Bouzakis is going to Ohio State.
Well, especially in that kind of weight range, it is relatively easier to move around.
Yeah. Yeah. So I agree. I think Bouzakis, he may be a 33-41. I think 41-49 for Mendez. Mendez wants to be he has his eyes set on that 65-kilogram world team spot. That's like where he thinks he's going to be for his career. So it's interesting.
Is Bouzakis partially to Ohio State? Ohio State has some Wisconsin guys that they let wrestle Greco on a very regular basis.
And Ohio State did very good at the Greco world team trials. They had like three finalists.
That's what I'm saying. So is that part of the reason? And then you would have Bouzakis and Greco and Mendez in freestyle.
Maybe.
Is that a possibility?
I would assume that would be a factor in it.
He didn't mention it in his post, and he mostly just mentioned relationship with coaches and their success.
Okay. Hey, I'm struggling here, and I know you guys know I'm semi-inept sometimes in searching the internet. I found the class of 2020 high school big board, but the last update I can find is November 19, 2020.
So it has been a while since it has been updated. Yes.
You guys really haven't done it? Who needs to get to work in there? I'm going to come fire someone if they don't put a new damn big board up real quick.
Do it. Do it.
Who am I firing?
No, we're not putting names in the street. Don't be rude, Ben. Rude Ben Askren.
Probably Bray. Bray, yeah. Get to work.
Yeah.
Coming to Austin.
Get him. You were just here.
Well, I didn't know it wasn't updated. I would have got him when I was there.
You could have enforced. Okay. So that's big. Mendez, he's in the middle of his visits, I believe. I think the big three for him, I don't know. Kind of a guess. I think Ohio State. I think Penn State. I think Michigan.
Missouri.
And
I threw out that NLI offer last week. So
you threw it out. Okay. Well, there's the offer's been laid. It sounds probably illegal, but I don't know. There may not be any rules anymore.
I actually have a business. I actually have a business, and they're actually allowed to earn money. So I don't think it's illegal, Christian.
I don't think. I think all the rules are gone at this point.
Correct. Gavin Brown's the other kid. I found that he's going to Ohio State. He's pretty tough too.
Yes, he's Gavin solid. Brown. So that's big news for Ohio State. Is they're looking to get back in the title and the trophy contending form. Shumate, Feldman, Bouzakis, very strong class with that alone. If they could add to it, could be another great recruiting class for Ohio State. Much needed as well. Stefan Micić, this was a news dump.
Yeah, news dump.
They news dumped us. Iowa didn't news dump us. They coordinated perfectly with our show. But Stefan, after FRL, announced he is coming back. So he and both Miles Amin, two Olympians on the Wolverines. That has to be a record.
Yeah, I think so.
We're going to call it a record until someone fact checks us and proves us wrong.
I don't think they can. I think it's impossible.
Can't do it. Right. And even if they did, there's literally no way to know.
Yep, they can kiss our butts.
Well, yeah, that too. I don't think we know about Logan Massa, what he's going to do.
I've not seen if he's announced anything.
Okay, real quick, what's Michigan's squad then? Because, it's in Detroit. We talked about being in Detroit. I don't believe, since Iowa gets to bring everyone back this year, I don't think they really have a chance at winning. But can they get a trophy? They're going to have Mean. They got the transfer. They got Mason Paris. They got Micić. They got Ragusan. Can they get a trophy or what?
They're going to be in contention.
For sure they're in contention. It'll be
who's the 197 transfer I'm blanking on right now?
Brookie,
thank you. Yeah,
big old Brookie.
They got Will Luan.
So Massa's not on the roster, and Micić and Amin are. So
Ruh-roh. Also, a quick Instagram glance. He had a child in July, a beautiful little girl, Logan Massa.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Congratulations,
very
Logan.
Cute little baby.
Should use that dad strength and try and win an NCAA title.
Yeah, the dad
title.
Strength.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to at least give it a shot with the dad strength. Against all these college guys. Because in the international scene, there's a lot of fathers, right? Not a lot of fathers on the college scene. It's your one chance to have the true dad strength advantage. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Something to consider, Logan. Well, if not him at 74, who do we think they'll use?
I'm looking through their lineup. I have no idea. I mean, they have they got a bunch of 25 pounders, but they got I forgot Cam Amin too. Cam Amin was an All American last year.
Fantastic last year.
He had a really good year. Yeah, I mean, I don't know who they got. They actually have a kid from Wisconsin, Max Mailer, and then I don't
he
even
was
know
their guy last
dude.
Year.
Yeah, he didn't have a ton of success.
Or in 2020, not last year, 2020.
Joe Walker, I've never heard of him, and I don't really know who their other. I don't know who their other options are. So they'll have a pretty tough squad, but there are obviously a few holes.
Yes. Logan would be have a huge impact. But 74 is going to be tough, too. So nothing guaranteed for sure. Okay.
They have a kid named Jaden Bullock from Virginia. I don't know him, though.
Never mind. I'm not even going to try to pretend I know. I thought I knew who he was.
You don't know nothing about Virginia. You sold out. You moved to Texas.
Oh, here we go. I'm selling nothing.
Sell out.
Me not knowing Virginians is when I was coaching high school, I didn't know anyone other than like the nationally ranked Christiansburg kids. Like,
they have 47 divisions, so it's probably pretty hard.
That's part of it. The it's we actually, everyone hates, but No state has more state champions than Virginia. We have the most state champions. So, and it's pretty.
You always have that.
We'll always have that. That's maybe all we will have, but we will have it. Jordan Burroughs, well-timed baby. This was close.
Pop that thing out. Go to Worlds.
Yeah, great timing. Congrats to Jordan on his baby boy, the fourth Burroughs child. I believe his name is Banner. Banner Jordan Burroughs. Strong name. And so now he can just focus on helping Team USA win a world title. Exciting stuff. So a lot of news, lots of stuff going on. And why don't we dive in, and we'll kind of let Kozak drive here. This is
okay. Can I get mad at Kozak?
Yes,
real quick.
I can't wait.
I was Kozak. I was, you know, the start of you working at Flow was me getting mad at you. So now this is gonna get you a raise for sure.
Okay.
I'm reading through the damn previews, and I'm like, yeah, world medalist. Yeah, world medalist. I'm getting through. I'm like, Kozak just predicted 4 world medals in a row. He's gonna go 10 for 10 American medalist. I freaking love this guy. Give him a raise. Then he leaves off Nick Gwizdowski, and I'm like, listen, the brackets are unbalanced. You could have snuck his ass in there somewhere. Just put him in the second bronze, and we go 10 for 10.
I know.
10 for 10. Can you imagine?
I know. That's what I didn't realize till the end, and then I went back and looked at everything. I'm like, oh, man, I left one guy out in his quiz. But I think I did that because if he gets on the same side as Zari and Akul, I don't know how that's going to work out.
So we could just get him on the other side.
That's true. We could do that.
Yeah, why don't you rig the bracket for him?
Yeah, the random draw, I'm gonna hack into that.
Into the Ethereum.
That's why I'm going.
I think it's powered by Ethereum.
It is.
The Ethereum blockchain.
Blockchain
does
baby.
The draws. So if you get mad at the draws, blame Ethereum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of our FRL questions was the end of year price for Bitcoin, Ben. It's on the way down. Yeah.
No, September is a really terrible month every single year. Wait for October. October is going to be a great time. Lots of great news coming down the pipe.
Okay. Wow.
Down the pipe.
We'll stay tuned. All right.
If you don't own Bitcoin, I don't know what you're doing with your life anymore.
Probably. Never mind.
Sorry. We should go on to wrestling, but if you don't own Bitcoin, you're a moron.
That's a little strong.
Morons.
Morons.
Morons. You're morons. Really? If you're not at least 1% of your net worth, if you're not hedging against the dollar crashing, I can't be friends with you.
1%. Okay. Now we're talking.
I'm all about classic cars.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going for.
Yeah. Triples. That's where you invest. Get doubles, get triples of every kind of classic car.
Yep.
All right. 57 kilograms. We've got Thomas Patrick Gilman. He's a one-time world medalist, one-time Olympic medalist, and look great at the Olympics. Going to look to win a world title. No Ogoyev in this field. Tee it up. Who are the big landmines? What is the 57 landscape, Kozak?
Yeah, really favors Gilman. He's going to be seeded first, and Suleiman Otley will be the number two seed. So they'll be opposite sides.
That's good for us.
So Otley's a big, he's past world medalist. He's beaten Gilman. He beat him in the bronze medal match 2018. So Otley will be someone who's, you know, a contender, can win gold for sure. Russia's Mudaliyev is going to be randomly drawn in, and he has two wins over Gilman. So we kind of want to see him opposite side. Azerbaijan's Kashalov, he's good. Sayutrin's good. Abe from Japan. Those are kind of the big guys I see. Erdinabat from Mongolia is a past world medalist. So he's a threat. Uzbekistan pulled out late, and they had a really solid guy at 57. So that kind of does us some favors. But I really like Gilman's chances. We have a clip of Russia's Mudaliyev if we want to play that. And then, Ben, I'd like to get your input on what he does here with the underhook. He kind of works himself into the seatbelt position. And he does this. This is one match, but I was watching a couple of his others. And he does this a lot where he forces the right side underhook and gets into that seatbelt position quite a bit. So I don't know, Ben, if you want to talk about
you know
that.
What? I always felt like maybe a handful of years ago, I would have said I don't really like this like throw by position, and a lot of people get stuck there. But so many foreigners make a living of just like, it's not quick or fast or efficient, but they just grind it out there and they're able to get a lot of takedowns from that position. So I've become significantly more of a fan of like, it's like a really slow throw by and then eventually go down, you know, go down to the leg and then, you know, knee behind and then eventually work to it. So I've become much more a fan of that position.
Man, he really does. It's a very consistent attack.
It's like he just forces that underhook and then really tries to either chase the far leg or then he'll work into seatbelt position.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
Yeah, but he beat Gilman twice, both at the end of 2019. The first match was 10-8, and then the second match was 2-1. But that was 2 years ago, so I'm not really sure how much Gilman, stock you put in.
Olympic that. Gilman was better than any other Gilman before that.
So,
I think maybe not that one. That guy tried. When they go underhook throw by and then they start shelving the leg up on the far leg, almost all the time in America, that's considered potentially dangerous and it's stopped a lot. So you're going to stop a lot of the scoring sequences where at the world level, they really let them wrestle there. You guys know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
they put the ankle on the far hip. So that's, that probably helps also.
Yes. So, this will be Mudaliyev's first ever senior world team, right,
John? Mm-hmm. Yep, first ever senior world team. I love Gilman's chances to medal for sure. And I think if he wrestles the same way he did at the Olympics, I think he's a great shot to win.
That would be huge.
The other question I had for you, because I know in this weight class, Gilman is the only returning Olympic medalist. All the others chose not to compete. So there's 32 freestyle Olympic medalists just 2 months ago, and five of them were Americans, so 27 were non-American. Of those 27, how many are competing? Do you know offhand?
Is how many medals?
Half? Is it a quarter? Yeah, how many?
Yeah, there's 11
medalists.
11 competing. So it's like total there's 40 out of the 96 in men's freestyle Olympians, and then 11 of the medalists.
But Sam, so if you pull out the Americans, that's only because for five medals were American and four are competing again. Gable's obviously not. So it's only seven out of 27 freestyle medalists are competing again.
Yeah. So Iran's wild. Sending their guys. And then Petrushvili, Akul, they're going. And then a couple guys, Sejulayev at 97. And then Canedo, the Cuban-Italian at 97 also.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. So tough, tough field for sure. We like Gilman. Gilman can do it for sure. And is it Abdullayev that's out?
For the record, he was my pick to win.
Abdullayev was? Why?
Because he's good.
He's really good, yeah.
Did Gilman work him?
Yeah, he
Gilman
did
work him.
But he beat...
Haters. See what I'm talking about, Ben?
Wait, but you're talking about the guy. He's a communist. Just
the guy who almost beat
Aguilev
in the quarters. Yeah,
done deal.
So we're talking about, but you had him. You had him in the preview article, right? The Gulam John, that guy.
Yeah, Gulam John.
So he's not in.
No, all of Uzbekistan's out. The entire country.
What?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not sending anyone, or just not their first?
That's what I heard last week. So. We'll see.
Okay.
I cannot believe it. I can't believe you would pick. Listen, I get not picking all Americans, but he just worked him.
Yeah.
Look, he just worked him. He beat him down.
You just have to hate the United States of America.
It seems too good to be true for Thomas Gilman to go back-to-back performances like he did in Tokyo.
Pick him to lose to Atlee, not the guy he just destroyed.
Atlee has too many up and downs for me.
Okay, fine.
Very high ceiling, but he takes weird losses.
Ali's really big for the weight, too. He's really big at 57.
All right, fine.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting that who was it that went up to 61 from 57? Well, Micic, obviously, but there was someone else also.
The Armenian, right?
Hartunian and Vangelov from Bulgaria.
Yeah, quite a few guys that went up then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hit 61. 61 kilograms. Dayton Dwayne Fix, he is next. Talk about this field. How do we fit? It's a deep one.
Yeah, it's deep, but at the same time, there's some unproven guys who I think Dayton Fix is right there with. We just haven't seen him at the weight, so it's like hard to project or rank him any higher. But Bekalemtadze is the world champ from 2019 for Georgia. He's in there too. And then Abiskadze Magomedov. Those are like the two the two really big names. Toshihiro Hasegawa from Japan. He's pretty solid. Azerbaijan had a guy who was really good, but he just got he pulled out, so they're putting a replacement in for him. That's actually good news for Dayton. But yeah, and then Micic, he's definitely a contender. And then Amuzad from Iran, he just won junior world gold, and then he took bronze at 2020 World Cup. He's really solid too. So it's like, I think Dayton is right in there with maybe the tier behind Lemtadze and Abiskadze. And then I think if he puts together a really good match, I think he's right up there with those guys.
How old's Lemtadze? He has been in the mix for quite some time. 29.
I feel like forever.
29 mm-hmm. though.
That's how old he is?
He's lying.
Allegedly. He's 36.
I feel like he was around since I've been 33. Around.
Why did this say 1991? Where do you see 33?
His UWW page.
Oh, boy.
Oh, 30.
Oh, boy.
His UWW page.
Well, I got 29. 30. I got November of 91 for Becca. Anyways.
I think 33 sounds more correct.
Yeah. But he's in the mix for sure. But Abiskadze, do we have any video of this guy?
We do. Yeah, okay. We have video of him. This is from the Euregan Finals in May. And we'll see right off the bat, he gets taken down, and I think he even gets turned. But his big thing is his arm drag on his feet.
Yeah, and hits it on everybody.
He hits it, yeah. Hits it on everyone, which you don't really see that often in international wrestling.
I feel like the arm drag is making a comeback, and it's not just an arm drag, but they're making arm drag to a lot of other situations. Like Keegan uses it a lot, and there's a few other guys who are using arm drag quite a bit.
Yeah, so Abiskadze's in blue, so he gets down 4-0 in this match. But kind of the way that I think about his wrestling, more like mentality, is similar to like a lighter David Taylor, where he just wrestles through every position and makes it hard for his opponents, even if they score, to finish, and then he just keeps going, and like wears them down. And he's a really good pinner, which is unique.
You're very unique
in freestyle. So yeah, he uses that arm drag, and even if he doesn't always hit it, then he'll run to that right side single leg, and finish from there.
I mean,
yeah,
he's winning.
Wow,
he got the Sajulayev treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh, he didn't even have to wrestle off for the spot. And they fought him up. Got Olympic bronze. Had to wrestle off for the
communist
spot.
He's a full. Check his wallet. He might have his communist card in his wallet.
We do.
Pull it out.
We expose do thorough him. Background checks, but they're
not
listen.
Not thorough enough. He's
not thorough enough. Not thorough enough. Clearly.
What you got? Dayton winning this week?
Heck yeah!
Man, you picked Abdullayev, and he lost like 9-1 to Gilbert.
So yeah. Abiskadze, he's won in a row 2020 Russian Nationals, 2020 World Cup, 2021 Russian Nationals, 2021 European Championships, and 2021 Ivan Euregan. So it's like he's just won all the big tournaments. He's gone like, 25 match win streak. I think he's got like 15 tacks or pins in that streak as well. So he's the truth.
Dayton Fix has never lost to any of those tournaments either. So let's remember that.
Yeah.
One thing.
Listen, he might win, but the way you're just flippant and just, saying.
Dismissive.
He's winning. It's dismissive. Yeah.
That's just how the rush. Oh, it's over. We win. We just sit. We just put people on the team, no matter. No need for trial. This guy, one thing he does is really unique, I think, too, in addition to like hitting arm drags on everyone. He does this thing, Ben. You should go back and watch some of his stuff. I think more like 2019, 2020. Mm-hmm. He'll get the single leg. He'll have it in the air. He'll be like kind of finishing backside, like almost in a quad pop position. Yeah. And instead of like really aggressively finishing, he kind of waits for the guy to wrestle back in or get his arm up. And he'll trap arm or he'll even grab the arm between the legs and get a roll. He'll hit cradles. So he uses that finish, like before the finish of the backside double. To like set up turns and stuff. He's really
bait him into things.
He's very creative. He likes to he really likes to mix it up. And like I think Kozak, the David Taylor comp is very accurate.
I do think Fix matches up good against them, though. Like, his style and, I don't know, it just, I don't think Dayton's going to get ultra-tired. I don't think he's going to get caught or you know, trapped in those little positions. I don't know.
And a reminder, this is the guy who needed the Phantom point to beat Dayton at Cadet World. So while it's ancient history, at the same time, they're both really good then and they're both pretty good now. But yes, I will say, I will humbly admit that he is a favorite. But, you know, dismissive JD, the Russian agent.
Last time we saw Dayton International, he lost to China, communist China.
We know.
He looked better than ever, though. But he looked better than ever.
That is true.
That's old Dayton.
Moved up a weight class, looked really good.
And I agree. I think he does better than he did at Polkone, but Abbas Kasi is really freaking good.
He's very good. No doubt.
I think Dayton medals, though.
I do, too. Mm-hmm. I think he medals as well. All jokes aside. Okay, 65, John Diakomihalis. I don't know his middle name. I know his real name is John. John Michael Montgomery. Yeah. Diakomihalis.
Yeah. Yeah. So 65 is a really fun weight. So it's younger, the guys at the top. So Vazgen Tavanyan from Armenia, Zagir Shakiev from Russia. If we can play I think I have two Shakiev clips. If we can play the one with Shirayev first, a match between Yanni and Shakiev is like the dream match for me at Worlds. It's maybe the one I want to see the most because they're really similar in their styles of like scrambling and leg attacks. So this is Shirayev, who I thought was going to make the team at 70 in black and red.
He's like their next superstar.
Shakiev is here. Yeah, so watch this scramble. I don't even know how to like talk through it or describe it. So
like a dump.
He like
step over.
So, yeah, Shirayev does a dump. He steps over, but then he gets his leg caught behind.
Oh boy!
Come on top.
Shirayev.
You know, what in the heck?
Uh huh.
You should watch the video.
This is Shakiev in the blue. Yeah, his defense is.
Nothing. Wow. Still doesn't give it up.
That was Chamiso-esque.
I love it.
Right. Yeah. And then.
So let me ask you this. This is a question for Communist JD. So you guys just both said this is their next superstar. They already have Olympic champion Rashidov in the mix. And then you guys, you want to bow down and worship the last guy at 61. Who's going to be their Olympic rep in 2024 at 65 kg?
In 2024 at 65? It won't be Kerbon because I think he's going to be too big.
I'd say Abbas Kadzi.
Yeah,
he's
maybe.
He's big.
That's what they say. He's going to go up after this year.
I don't know. He's not that big. He competed at 57 a couple of years ago and then moved up to 61. He's going to go up to – going to try and go up to 65, I would assume. He didn't even try this year because, like, he's just too small. He's a 61 guy. So it might be Rashidov again.
No way. They won't send him. They'll find a way. They don't trust Rashidov, I don't think.
And really?
He would still be the guy in 3 years? No.
I think it's either going to be Rashidov, Abbas Kadzi, or Shakiev.
Shakiev.
That's right. But I think Russia probably is putting their eggs in the Abbas Kadzi or Shakiev basket. But they did wrestle. Shakiev and Rashidov wrestled it in the Russian nationals finals. It was low scoring. Rashidov only scored off of this sequence here. Bless you, Ben.
Well, and, that one came fast.
And so it was 5-3, I think, was the final in that match. Shakiev's real good. I think he's perfectly sized for 65. Also at 65 is Azerbaijan has a guy, Rahimzadeh, who's younger. And I think he has a win over Kinchikishvili in the past. Amir Yazdani from Iran is decent. Tumur Ochur from Mongolia, he's pretty solid too. Tavanyan, though, he might be the biggest, one of the biggest threats or favorites against Yanni and Shakiev. Tavanyan he was really good going in the Olympics, beat Haji Aliyev, beat Gadzia from Poland as well. So
that's the guy that beat J.O.
Yeah.
Yep. He's a billion years old.
He's a billion years old. It's still really good. Mm-hmm. And then we'll look up his age on Google, and they'll say he's like 28.
No, he actually is 33, I believe.
You think everyone's 33? That's just part of your Russian propaganda. Ben's 33. I'm 33. Okay. 70. So all right. So all things considered, you think Yanni is going to win Worlds?
No.
My pick is Shaquille.
I think he medals though. I think he breaks the medal streak.
Mm-hmm.
So the streak. I'm going
Yanni to break the medal streak.
I think he might win.
I think he's got a shot, but...
I'll say John Michael Diakmahalis is our first world champion.
I'm still taking Shakiv.
Yeah.
Actually, I got this weight. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, JD's picking a Russian? You don't say.
Wow.
I know, right?
Weird. Weird. Okay.
It's almost like they just won the Olympics or something.
Barely.
And the world's before that.
By one match.
And the world's before that.
70 kilograms. James Green. Are we looking at this weight?
It's a really good weight. Zhirbayev from Russia. He's never wrestled at Worlds before. I think he's taken second at Russian Nationals like four times. Mm-hmm. We have a clip of him. He's really good when people are in on his legs and he's able to get like a chest wrap and get to like exposing people from that position. So this is a match with Valiev from Russian Nationals semifinals. But so Zhirbayev, he's going to be kind of one of the main favorites. Yeah, Zhirbayev really is really dynamic. He can do a lot of different things when people are in on his legs. The guy that Keegan beat at Junior Worlds, he's going to be here at 70. Bayramov from Azerbaijan, he's really good. Ahmed Aliyev.
Oh, the guy from the quarters?
Yes, who was ahead like 5-1 when Keegan pinned him.
Uh-huh. Boom.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Nice. Ahmed Aliyev, who pinned Bekbulatov, he's going to be up at 70 kilograms. Ramadzanov, who is wrestling for Bulgaria, but he's a Russian, he's going to be at 70 as well, so he's pretty solid. And then Ayakabashvili, who's a former world champ from Georgia, he'll be at 70. So 70 is tougher than 65, in my opinion.
So uphill battle for James to medal, but you think he does it?
I think he can. Gadziev's there too from Poland, so that's tough.
Oh my gosh!
But yeah, this weight is
sick of that guy.
This weight's real tough.
We've beaten him before. I'm sick of that dude.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Get him out.
We've beaten him. I think just once. Frank Molinaro.
Frankie.
Yeah.
At the Olympics. Yeah. Okay, so gonna be uphill. JD has Russia for sure. Anything else to add?
So does Kozak.
I picked.
So, okay. So, through the first, how many weights? Four weights. You guys, it's a little tough for us versus Russia. We're going to be in a deficit here.
Yeah. Draws, I think, are going to be very important.
Yes. Okay. Now, all right. Now, let's see. Let's see how much propaganda we get these next couple weights. We may have to take some drastic steps if we continue with this Russian propaganda through 74, 79, 86,
well,
and 92.
Kozak's safe. He picked four world champs in a row, so he's safe.
But who
that
knows?
Guy sitting next to you or they're over there, I'm not nervous. So sure about him.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, okay. 74.
Four golds in a row.
Even with Sitikov and Kadi Magomedov not there, it's still really tough. You got Sabalov, who's a past world champ, and then you got world medalists Imami from Iran, Kenchadze from Georgia, Selkazanov, who just beat Chamizo and Jamalov at Euros.
Man, Russians are going everywhere. This is annoying.
They're going everywhere, yeah. And then Bishoev is Russia's rep, who, if you remember, we have the clip of this his match against Sitikov from Russian Nationals, where I mean he should have
not. Oh yeah,
he should have won. He should have won the match. When Sitikov hits the Granby at the end.
Look at this.
Yeah,
this is crazy, Ben. Do you remember this? I think I can't remember if we watched it on the show. I thought we did.
So yeah, but Shoev gets a takedown, and then Sitikov only scored on a shot clock and a step out. Oh no, he may have gotten a takedown. I think he got two step outs. But yeah, this is. Let's see. So yeah, he gets a takedown.
Okay.
So he gets two.
So it's 3-3.
So it's 4-3. Sidikov's winning.
4-3.
With just over 30 seconds left.
So you say he got it.
He gets the takedown there.
Here comes Blue.
Oh, he's gassed, though. He's tired.
Boom. Big snap.
20 seconds left.
Watch this Granby camp. Steve Martin style. Watch this. Here it comes.
Almost behind.
Granby camp. He for sure rolled across his back. They don't give any points.
I wish that was legal in my day. Yeah. I would have loved to use a Granby against
international dudes. It's not legal in this day. They just turned their heads.
I don't see why not. It really should be. It really should be, Christian. You should really not give up points there. Because, like, I can try it for a headlock, and if, say, I roll all the way through and you don't expose, I don't give up points, so why can't I do a freaking Granby?
We should see if we can pause this, like, right at the time. Right now.
Well, go. You
it's just obviously like exposed. Obviously. Yeah. But what? The guy's not forcing him to do a Granby. If you do a Granby on your own volition,
I mean, he forced him into that position.
He's absolutely forcing him. He's hitting
the go-behind. It's a defensive move.
Yeah. You guys are idiots. He is not forcing him to roll over his back. Sidikov is choosing to do that to avoid the takedown.
To avoid the takedown.
Just as you would try for a head pinch.
That's offensive. To avoid a takedown. That's offensive. You're trying to score there. A Granby is to avoid getting taken down.
I'm on my ass and I go over my back. That is a defensive move. It absolutely is.
Well, what's the difference?
It's not if you're in front head and you're trying to score from a front head pinch.
I'm on my butt. Say I'm on my butt and my legs are in front of me and I'm pinching this for
head. That's true.
And I try to expose my back. There's a defensive maneuver in which I'm exposing my back. There's other things. Say like that crappy move where they try to roll, go waist and ankle and they try to roll. If I expose myself there and come, but I don't get them over and I come back up, they do not give exposure points there.
That's an offensive position, right?
It's you're trying to save yourself, right? They're on your leg. So yeah. I know the way they define offensive and defensive is kind of sketchy in UWW rulebook. My thing, if they're not forcing us to our backs and we go there on our own volition, we should be able to do so.
Like a leg pass, like a Granby.
Yeah. There's a lot of these things where they're not actually forcing us to our backs. We're choosing to go there. And if they can't stop us there. Now, listen, if he did a Granby and you got stopped there for a second or two, good. Give the other guy points. Great, right? But if you're smooth like that, whatever. You shouldn't give up any points.
I don't hate that, but that is certainly not the rule. Certainly not how it will be called.
Probably not the rule. I just said it should be the rule.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. Two separate things. That should have been two, and it could have been a different Olympian for Russia. That's how close it is.
Yeah.
At this level.
And that's
Sidikov kind of won running away with it. He dominated Kadyrmagomedov. Mm-hmm. Like, dominated him.
Yeah, so Bishoev, he had another criteria match loss against Sidikov, I think from 2019 or 2020, but he had to beat Gazimagomedov and Kurbanaliev, two world champs, to make the team. So Bishoev will be, he'll be right there with Dake. And this field's really, really good, even without the top guys.
No Chamizo, Sidikov, or Kadi.
Yeah, yeah.
Kadi's still in our Instagram mentions, though.
Gosh, he just wants attention, man. From the time he medaled at
Olympics, he's got mine.
He's just like, all right, here we go. I'm going to see if I can get as much attention as I can.
He loves it. So we're all taking Dake here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I took him to win the Olympics. I was very surprised how that materialized, but I think he gets it done here. I think he's champion.
Yes, I agree.
If he – I say that, and then now I'm wondering, okay, whatever was going on with him health-wise, which we don't know, we have to wait for the documentary, is that something that can re-emerge for this, or is it just a freak thing that was just for the Olympics? That was not that long ago. It's weird. Normally, like, between major competitions, you don't really think about an injury, but the fact that that was in July, August, it's like, well, that wasn't that long ago. So I'm assuming he's healthy, but
he said it was fixed. Day two.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they fixed it.
So.
All right. There you go.
I mean, he looks so good against Chamizo in day two.
He killed him.
Yeah.
Killed everyone.
But.
So, okay.
79?
79. Jordan Ernest Burroughs following up Kyle Douglas Dake. They are teammates once more, just flipping the weight classes from 2019 when JB was the 74 rep.
Yeah. I mean, I feel so good about JB against the field at 79. It's like
Is he one of our bigger favorites, you think?
He's got to be. I mean, if he's anywhere close to 100%, he runs away with gold here. And that's not just hyperbole or anything.
What percent does he have to be to not?
I don't know.
Mike Mal 70? Came up to me. Said 70. And that's the exact number he said. Mike came up to me. He's like, I'm telling you, 70% JB's winning this.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. He's been watching all the film. He likes the matchups.
Yeah.
So great news.
Radek Valiyev is the rep for Russia. And I really think this is a weight where the 3 kilogram allowance like messed with the rep. And 79 for Russia, for whatever reason, is just not very good. And I think it was just the timing of 74, 86 for the Olympics. But this is Valiyev and Shavayev. Shavayev ends up winning this match. Valiyev's in the blue.
This is 86.
This is 79.
Oh, 79.
Russian nationals this year.
What in the world?
But yeah, so he's tricky. He's got some, you know, he's got some good scramble ability. But I mean, I really kind of like that against Burrows, the way that Shavayev's able to get to Valiyev's legs and just put up points against Valiyev. I really like how that, you know, plays into a matchup with Burrows.
It's really wild how you think Russia's not deep at this weight class, considering how deep they are at 74 when we have Sitikov and Bishoov, and then I mean there's a whole bunch of them, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I want to say with all the potential reps that they have, like in their wrestle offs, I think maybe only one of them was a world medalist, Nabiyev, in the past. And he lost like first round or second round in their trials. So, yeah, they didn't really have a ton of options. The guy that won Russian nationals lost like first round at Euros. So they're not super strong at this weight. But, yeah, this guy's scrambly. He's tricky. But I don't think he's a huge, huge threat to take out Burrows. Right. After this guy, Nika Kanchadze is pretty solid. He just almost won the Medved. He was winning in the finals match as time ran out, and then he like punched the guy and gave up a caution to one. So then he lost.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was
wow.
I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that.
That's a wild strike.
After time ran out, we're talking there's 0 seconds on the clock.
0 seconds. They go out of bounds or something. He gives him a hard club. The ref goes, caution one, and he loses. So, I like that against Burrows. One guy that I think is like a dark horse at this weight is Umer Pashaev from Bulgaria. He beat Kadi Magomedov at one of the qualifiers, one of the Olympic Games qualifiers. And I think... who did he pin? He pinned somebody really good.
Is he a Russian with that type of name?
I don't know if he's Russian by country of origin. I'm not sure.
But he would probably know better than all of us.
Yeah, but he's really he's got like big move potential. He does a lot of like upper body stuff. But Burrows beat him a couple years ago, like 5-1, 6-1.
Heck yeah!
So I like how Burrows matches up there.
It's great. And, you know, the Burrows health questions, man, but obviously we're not getting any, like, real updates, but I think all the news has been good. There's been no bad news.
Which is good news.
There's been no rumors. There are rumors about other weights and other a different rep at a different weight. We won't get into
it,
but Burrows is
going. I want to know what these rumors are.
I tell you later. And we'll see if that happens or not. But Burrows, it sounds like he's good. So that is good.
Okay. Sweet.
86, David Morris Taylor. Got to be feeling good. This is basically the same field he just won.
Yeah.
We know the match.
Yep. And Nafanov. Kozak,
can I have your professional opinion on why Russia has struggled to get someone at this weight class? Since July have moved up?
I mean, they had an Olympic bronze medalist in a weight
that
with Yazdani and David Taylor. Like, that's pretty good.
Someone that's This is a JD coming to Russia's defense.
Love it.
Someone that is competitive with David Taylor.
Russia doesn't have an Olympic gold medalist at every weight.
Well, they got Olympic medalists at almost every other weight. And,
he did
and
medal.
They don't have anyone who's even – okay, but he's not competitive with David Taylor.
Okay, because David Taylor is like the second or first best – David Taylor hasn't lost to any humans since 2017.
I know, but they –
okay.
You guys don't see what I'm saying here?
I kind of do, but I'm kind of – my point is like he's
even
he's
I don't separate. Think Russia should have a like one of the top five pound-for-pound wrestlers in the world at every weight.
At 65, they have multiple guys deep that are like world champion level.
They have multiple guys here that could compete for a medal. Kruglev's pretty good too. He would be competitive with David Taylor.
Kruglev was competitive.
He knocked him out.
He kicked him in the face. Mm-hmm.
And then got schooled after that.
That was a good match. Hey, that but all jokes aside with the kick, that was a competitive match.
Yeah.
Even without the kick.
I thought he won like 11-4 or something.
I think it was 8-6.
Yeah, it was really that close?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The Kuruglyev's good. Nafanov is good. It's just we've got...
The chat's calling him Comrade Raider. That's a good name.
Comrader, yeah.
You bring him home one of those...
Oh, yeah.
I'm not defending Russia here. I'm saying David Taylor is really good. Like, yeah. I'm hyping up. It's because
he separated himself from the field.
I'll get him a hat. But I think the lesson here is it's David Taylor and it's Yazdani. And those are just two super freaks.
Fine.
And, they don't have one at every weight. And also, if Sagulayev had stayed 86 throughout his career, this would be a pretty different conversation, too. Mm-hmm. And then maybe we'd be saying that about 97, but they're pretty good at 97 as well.
Comrade Raider.
But yeah, I do think Russia's not bad here. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, yeah, it is a little surprising they don't have someone that's like super competitive with Dave, but that's just, I think it's a credit to David.
I think Kuruglyev's a better matchup against David. But he just can't beat Nafanov. They've wrestled 7 times. Nafanov.
It's like a 1-point match every time.
1-point match every time.
Very boring.
They never score more than 5 points, and Nafanov's won 5 out of 7. So.
It's like the Jake Varner Craig Brester rivalry. It's like Varner won by like a point every single time, except for like one occasion maybe.
Yeah, yeah. But after those top two, Nafanov and Yazdani are on the same side, so it's like Taylor's gonna walk to the finals.
So Nafanov and Yazdani, same side you just said.
Yep.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome Blossom, extra awesome. So it'll probably look a little like David's Olympic. It's like a literal replay, carbon copy tournament. Minus Miles and
Meade. He'll score in the last 20 seconds
to win. Miles and Meade's not going.
Miles and Meade, I don't think he's going. Deepak Shakur going?
No Deepak. No Shabanov.
Shabanov, I don't want in there because he could just gouge an eye or something and just partially blind you.
Boris Mikhoev, Sandro Minashvili, a couple guys. Gosen from Turkey's okay, but nobody's near.
Much to the chagrin of JD, we're looking pretty good at this weight class. As we are at 92 kilograms with the return of Jade and Michael to Bory Cox.
Yeah.
How are we feeling?
Yeah, I feel good. I really like Gassanpour from Iran. The only guy he's lost to in the last 3 years is Yazdani. And he's had like a 5-3, 5-2 match with Yazdani and like a 6-4 match. So he's right there. And he beat Nafanov in 2018, Gassanpour did, at U23 Worlds. So Gassanpour is going to be the guy, I think, to beat in this bracket. Kurbanov is real solid too, but I think really highly of Gassanpour.
So Gassanpour, you think is the biggest threat to Jaden?
Yeah, I think so. I think Kurbanov can keep it close too. I don't know how that matchup looks, but I think Gassanpour is the guy.
Copy that. I think Jaden will win. Also, I think that's probably the internationally held thought as well. 97, how similar is this to the 97 we just had at the Olympics?
Yeah, so the most Olympians out of any weight are at 97. So there's nine out of 16 of the Olympians will be here, and 3 out of the 4 medalists.
Crazy that that's the most. I mean, the most is at 50%. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, and the second after that is just a couple weights with six out of the 16.
Wow.
So
it's bizarre.
Yeah, it is. It is different.
But I mean, when you think about it in the context of America got four of our five, you know, 80% to come back and compete. It seems like we did a great job compared to other countries of getting these guys to want to show up and wrestle.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And some of them, they're moving weights. So that's a little bit different. Okay. But I think 97 is like, where else can you go? You can only go down. So it might have something to do with that too. Yeah. But only Salas Perez from Cuba is the only medalist not there. So Caniedo from Cuba, Italy, is going to be there. But yeah, I think it's the same. It's like the same thing as 86, where it's like, all right, Sagulayev, Snyder, round four.
Man, anyone pulling the trigger? Anyone feeling it? We know.
Jay. Let's go, Kyle Snyder. I'm going 7 world champions for America.
Ooh. A modest 7.
The four that Kozak picked, and I'm gonna go Snyder. I'll go Yanni and Dayton.
Wow,
7 world champs, baby! Let's freaking do it! Stop being hopefully haters. Turn out
like Missouri's national tournament.
Ooh! Ouch! Ouch!
Oh man! I ride with my squads.
He do.
I think. I don't know how much Sagulayev has been training. I don't know if that, you know, matters as much.
No, he ain't been training.
He had to quarantine for like 8 or 10 days before he met Putin. And that was only like 2 weeks ago.
They probably make him quarantine in the wrestling room.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Quarantine here. This is a good place for you.
I think he's been training. He's been with all the guys at camp and whatnot. And I think now he's healthy. He wasn't healthy at Olympics, and I think he's,
Oh, my gosh. He's just spouting the propaganda.
His knee, right?
Let's talk about this knee.
I only read from Communist Party lines.
Yes.
I'm saying he won the Olympics and, like, didn't take one shot because he said his knee was hurt.
It's true.
Oh, my goodness.
Gosh. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going Kyle, too. I'm going Kyle, too. I got him. You know, we're going to have the last laugh with the great American victory.
Yes.
That's what I feel.
Okay. I gave Kyle Snyder a much better shot than a lot of people going into Tokyo. I thought it was like 60-40 in favor of Sagulayev. But then when it went the full match, Sagulayev's not 100%, chooses not to shoot one time, and he still beats him. It's like the... It's similar to the Yazdani David Taylor, where it was like, if he couldn't get it done then, I just can't pick him.
I think the not shooting thing is not just a – that wasn't just an injury thing. I think that was tactical.
He didn't do it against anybody, not just Kyle.
But I'm telling you, he doesn't want to go under there. I think
– wisely.
He doesn't want to – the go-behinds that Kyle has are formidable. He's really good at running behind. I think he didn't want to feel that. I think that's part of it too. And if he's healthy here, I don't think he's going to take a lot of shots.
I don't think so either.
He took the single set up the pin in the 2018 meeting. But, you know, we'll see if he does that again.
Yeah, I went back and watched their Olympic match. And I remember coming off like that day and I was like riding the Olympic high. I'm like, all right, Snyder's right there. And then I watched the match and it was like 6-0 with like 2 minutes left or whatever. I was like, oh, man. This wasn't really,
it
wasn't really that close, you know.
The high crotch Snyder got, I attest more to fatigue and giving it up than something where it's like, build off of this, don't, you have the high crotch available instead of the low level shot.
Yeah, we know what you think. We know. We freaking know. All right, Kyle Snyder.
I'm saying there's a chance, I'm just saying it's a small chance.
Right.
What chance do you give it?
Give us a percentage. It was 60-40 in the Olympics. 20.
20? Okay.
80-20. All right.
That's actually way higher than I thought he was going to say.
Yeah.
That might be being generous. If, you know, they wrestle five times.
He just took it down
to five. He wins one. No, I'm sticking with 20.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Way to throw Kyle a bone, you know. What a gesture.
Kyle doesn't need my bone. He's
How much do you think? Kyle doesn't need his bone. How much do you think Russia's paying JD under the table?
Oh, we'll find out. We can pull his bank records immediately. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, it's probably all in cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they do it. That's how all these criminals are making all this stuff happen.
For God's sake.
I just put it together.
HSBC is paying hundreds of millions of dollars in penalties for all the money laundering they do. And we're going to talk about crypto. The effing market cap of Bitcoin isn't big enough for all the criminals.
You know what I just figured out after all these years and my naivete? We talked about the murder hotel in Cleveland. And we talked about one of those strangest parts about it is it had a Bitcoin like vending machine or whatever you call it. It's like, well, it's so obvious. We know why. So all the drug deals could go down. It's like they don't have to, you know, exchange all the funds. That's why they had the Bitcoin machine at the murder hotel, University Hotel on Euclid. Bad place. That's why Miami's such a Bitcoin hub too, you know.
Listen, when these really low IQ people try to make the argument that the only thing Bitcoin is used for is drugs and other illicit activities, and they don't realize what the U.S. dollar is actually used for, they look like morons.
Well, I bought a payday with my U.S. dollar, and it was delicious. Great candy bar. Oh, hey, listen, I didn't say it's the only thing Bitcoin is used for. Maybe I have some Bitcoin. You never know. But I can see both sides of it, too. All right, heavyweight, the big boys, no Gable, but we got Lordy. What was that?
Golly. What was Ray that?
Just dropped something. Bomb just went off.
I think Ray just kicked something. All right. Quiz. Sorry, that was really loud. I don't know if you heard it, but it was loud here. Quiz, in this field, very tough field, all the medalists are back except for Gable Dan.
Yeah.
We're going to need a good draw here.
Yeah, Petrus Fili is the one. Akul is the two, Zari the three. And then Oleg Bolton is the four. And then Russia's sending Zalemkhan Khitriev, who I have clips of him here wrestling his brother in the finals of the 2021 Euregan.
Well, Trent Travis Paulson
there
situation.
I don't think that's Khitriev.
That's, yeah, lightweights.
But yeah, there's three Khitriev heavyweights. They're all brothers, and they're all pretty good. This is, I think that's Mudaliev or somebody. Yes. But Khitriev beat Gwiz in the 2019 like German league. It's like 7-7. I couldn't find video of that match. There's Mudaliev running to the underhook there.
If he goes heavyweight.
Yeah,
I'm feeling much better about Gwiz.
But yeah, I mean, if Gwiz gets on Gino's side, he's right there. There it is. Oh nope, now it's gone again. What are you gonna say, Ben?
I didn't want to distract you, but if you have finished, then I'll bring my point up.
No, I was just gonna say. So Gwiz, I think he has Robert Barron from Poland just beat him. And then I think he's got head-to-head losses against maybe a couple other guys in the field, but it's gonna be very draw dependent, which that's why I didn't pick him to medal.
Yeah, if he's topside, we're feeling better. And to just quickly summarize, topside, we're feeling better. If he's on the bottom, it's gonna be tough because Zare and Taha both down there.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't hate the Taha matchup as much as I hate the Zare matchup. I think that's the
Yeah, he's wrestled Zari twice and was like, he had no answers for anything.
Yeah, yeah. That hand fighting is just something that, who's simulating that? It's just one of those tough things. Ben, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what? We like think about how much kids weight cutting and how much is it a factor in youth wrestling and high school wrestling. And then it's like, man, even at the Olympic level, there's 32 Olympic medalists. Okay, five of them are American. There's only 11 returning, and four Americans are non-heavyweights, but almost all the other returning medalists are either 97 or heavyweight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? That's factually correct, isn't it? And so you got to assume these guys are actually not cutting weight, so all the other weight classes. If you're way more likely to return and you're not cutting weight, then the reason you're not returning at the lighter weights is because you're cutting too much weight and you don't want to show up.
Very good point.
It's wild.
Yeah,
that's kind of wild to think about.
Yes. Very good point, Ben, and considered that, and it seemed pretty obvious, too. Okay, so what would you say our percentage chance of us winning a world title is, John?
I think it's 50-50 right now. Yeah.
There we go.
I think it all depends on who has the better tournament between Russia and USA. I think that's an obvious point, right? But in the rankings that I did, looking at just head-to-head and performance at the weight, I have Russia ahead. by 16 points.
Ooh.
Which is which
how
is
much
the,
does JD have them ahead?
Yeah.
Me and Kozak aren't really that far off on our picks.
I think we were real close. Yeah, so I think so where we make up the points are 61. I don't have Fix meddling in my rankings. And so I have him like finishing like 6th or 7th. So we can make up points there. We can make up points at 65. I only have Yanni taking bronze. And then we can make up points at heavyweight. I only have Gwiz getting like 6 points.
Hollywood Mike, come back here. Come here. This guy's coming.
Hollywood Mike.
Well, he's coming to say goodbye, but come here. Let introduce yourself to
this
FRL fan.
This is just Mike Sears.
This is Mike Sears.
I don't got my costume on.
This is hot.
I heard he's pretty famous.
Yeah, he's famous. This guy just pulled off a great, great weekend at the WNO Championships, right. Made it happen.
The godfather of grappling.
Yeah, leader of the Illuminati.
Illuminati. He's going to Brazil. We're both fleeing the country today. You know, bring it in.
He can't see his head. He needs to squat down a little bit.
Yeah, squat down. This is professional.
I'm there. Now we
can
see. There we
I'm
go.
No Sion, but next time I'll wear my costume. I'll come in here and get crazy. Take it easy.
All right.
See you
buddy.
Guys in like 2 weeks.
Yep, see you then. That's good Sears. He's the man. Black belt. We have to call him professor now. He actually wrote that into his contract. You have to call the black belt's professor. Okay. Big wrestling fan too. He's a guy who he would get up in the wee hours of the morning and come in and watch the UWW World Championships with us. So good dude. Okay. So 50-50 says Kozak. And JD
I'm
feels
100%.
I think it's happening. We got the juice. It's freaking happening. It's gonna be tough. Mm-hmm. Our bottom 4 or 5 weights are gonna really tell the tale for us. You know.
And then JD's going to come in and be an apologist and say they didn't bring their first team. Wham, wham, wham. And
yes,
I'm going to say,
did.
I don't give a damn. It's the world championships we won.
I agree.
Take that.
Take that. Yeah. It's worlds. This is the best the world has to offer, bar none, unquestionably. Yeah. And I do think we're going to win. I think a lot is going to rely on our big guns doing what they should, which is 74 through... Really, I'll say 97, I think, because we have Snyder has to make the finals, right? And then those 74, 79, 86, 92 winning need that. And then we're going to need good performances from Thomas, Dayton, Yanni, and James. And James
yeah,
going to be tough for him to medal. That's a really tough weight. Yanni, tough. Dayton, tough. Gilman, you feel really good about just after what we just saw in Japan. But... got to do it again. Mm-hmm. So yes. A lot can do that. But you know what? Russia's not infallible. They can certainly fall off in some of these weight classes too. But they've got guys. There's no – what's the weakest weight? Probably heavyweight for Russia?
Yeah, heavyweight's their weakest. I don't think super highly of him at 79. I think he could fall off a bunch in 92. Those guys are untested. And even 70. Zhirbayev, he's pretty untested as well. So 70, 79 – 92, they're non-Olympics up top.
So let me ask you this question, Kozak. Given that, like you said, Uzbekistan wasn't coming, and I think we're not having the toughest field ever here, do you think that benefits the Russian team more, or do you think that benefits us more?
Yeah, it's all weight dependent, right? So it's like...
overall, come on. Gun to your head, who's it benefit more?
Who does it benefit more? It probably benefits the United States more, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. It's pretty equal, cool. though. I mean, like, they're bringing a couple big guns that it would be a major upset if they lost, and so are we.
Yeah, so, like...
And then there's a couple probable medalists in between guys.
Yeah, as I was... So, actually, it has benefited Russia more, because as I was tracking the team scores, when I first did the rankings, like, 3 weeks ago, USA was behind by, like, 10 points. And I was like, all right, as we get closer, USA is going to close the gap. Because I think Russia's not going to send their best, and you know things are going to work out like that. But as the rosters were forming, and like Chamizo drops out, and then Uzbekistan drops out, so every time those guys dropped out, the Russians moved up a spot in like the rankings. So it just kind of
it dropped out at our good weights.
It dropped out at our best weights, so it actually gave Russia more team points. So it has benefited them.
Interesting. It's going to be a tight, tight battle.
And reminder, no bonus point, extra points here. It's strictly about placement.
I wish there was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish so also. I wish there were, yeah, more like NCAA bracket type scoring where you get advancement points and all the other stuff. Hey, are you guys going to put out, or have you already put out, the schedule of when all the sessions are on American times? Because I have not seen that.
Yes.
We have that.
It is Eastern, so you'll have to transfer it 1 hour to Central time.
Yeah, it's on the events page.
I'll send it to you right now, Benjamin.
On Flow Wrestling.
Or on Twitter, or on the link, or on my...
Look up right on your phone, and you can save it. You can
boom, that's what I want. Save it. I'm so excited.
So day one squad, listen to this crop.
Saturday, right?
Saturday. Mm-hmm. Dayton, Dwayne Fix, David Morris, Tara, Kyle Dake, Nick Wazdowski. That's day one.
What time are we talking about, though? Day one. Oh, damn it all. Are you kidding me? 2:30 a.m.? It's 3:30 Eastern, so it's 2:30 Central.
Yeah. No, he sent you a Central one.
That's custom for you, Ben. This is Central.
Custom for me? You guys really love me. You sent me a custom
one. We really do, deep down. We got you tacos.
Tacos? That was great.
Okay, day two. Gilman, Burroughs, Yanni, Jaden. That's a fun day. That's a fun day because also that day you'll have hopefully, definitely, sure, Dayton, Dake, Gwiz, and David Taylor medal matches.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my gosh. And then next we'll have Green and Snyder are the last two American men to go. And so it'll be Green, Snyder, Jenna,
Kayla.
Team
title could come down to Snyder, Sajulayev once again.
Once again.
I don't know.
Why are you sighing? You picked Kyle. You should be happy.
That's still going to be a nerve-wracking moment. Oh, yeah. Just because I picked him doesn't mean I'm like, oh, joyous. It's going to come down to that match. Because if it comes down to that match and Sajulayev knows it comes down to that match, oh, boy. The great American pride. But the last time that happened, we lost. But then the time before when that happened, we won. So
that's correct.
It's going to reverse. So, man, incredible schedule.
You really guys, fun. You guys have a few mistakes here on the schedule, Christian.
Great.
You just have a PM instead of an AM on like three of the columns. Most of them are 3:30 AM to 7:30 AM. Some of them say 3:30 AM to 7:30 PM, which I don't believe is correct.
Spay made this. I think Spay made it.
Spay also, I don't think made that. I believe he copied it from
Space
someone on Twitter.
Sent it.
But the one on our website is correct, where everyone should go look at the schedule anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can tune in to almost every session with the Watch Party and hang out with me, Bader, and Bray, and special guests.
But you can also watch the whole thing live on our site, too.
Simultaneous.
It's so great that, listen, it is so, I don't want to pat you guys on the back too much. It is so great that all these international tournaments are live on Flow now, because I know Kozak was able to find international events previously, but other websites to watch the worlds were such a pain in the butt. No fun.
We're obviously very excited about it as well.
Much better.
And first time worlds on Flow. It's a pretty freaking big deal. Mm-hmm. Tell your friends.
Big deal.
Tell your friends. Okay. Do you want to get into some questions?
Do it.
From our dear friends. Okay. There were a couple I saved for you, Ben, from Thursday when you weren't here. Or wait there was
Thursday Wednesday. I was in the studio.
There was a show you weren't here, and then I didn't.
No, Wednesday I left a little bit early because I had to make my flight.
That's right. That's what happened. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Kurt Arnoldson. Thoughts on a belt system for wrestling? Seems to work for karate and jiu-jitsu since there's training in every town in America.
Yeah. So, I think that's more about their salesmanship than their belt system. So we actually did this in the first maybe two to three years of AWA, and then we weaned off of it. It just wasn't – it was really hard to keep up with. And then the other thing that obviously happens in wrestling that doesn't happen, because a lot of these other fake martial arts, they just don't compete a lot. So they need a belt system to tell everyone on what level they're on. Whereas our kids are competing all the time, right, whether it's high school or youth tournaments. And so – when you try to tell them you don't get to move up because you're not listening well enough or other reasons, right? And then they're like, well, you know, I'm just going to say hypothetically, but, you know, I'm a purple and he's a white. But I'm kicking his butt on the weekends despite the fact that he's a purple. Like, that's really hard. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just like with wrestling, there's so much competition. They kind of all understand at what level they're on. And, you know, these other things are kind of like almost, I want to say, beside the point, you know. And whereas in karate, it's I don't want to say the fake martial art, but the amount of times they actually compete is so minimal compared to wrestling that it just people, they need to be told what level they're on. And in wrestling, they already know.
Yeah, I don't think it's a necessary thing. And I think on the competition side, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like competitive jiu-jitsu, the belt levels, there was a blue belt named Cole Abate at this jiu-jitsu tournament. He's like certainly one of the best in the world. He taps black belts regularly, but he's still a blue belt just because he's young.
So, yeah, I hate that when it's like that. It's so dumb that they don't move him up. And the other thing I get annoyed about, because I think I think sometimes people are too idealistic about certain things, but in wrestling, it's like, hey, strength matters. Toughness matters. And if you want to be too obsessed with technique, listen, I love technique. I freaking love it. But at the end of the day, if you're really strong and you're really tough, sometimes you don't have to be as technical, even at like the NCAA level, right? We all know those guys who aren't as technical and they're just really good. And so like all those things matter. So if you want to say you want to give a belt system based too much on technique, it's flawed. It's flawed because that's just not how wrestling works. Wrestling, all the other stuff matters. So we got to factor that in also.
I do like the idea though of like breaking down techniques and breaking down attacks and finishes so that people can new to the sport can be like, oh, these are the different things that I need to do, and like you have it in front of you rather than just going to a practice like, all right, here's the technique we're gonna learn today, let's drill it, and then you know you leave and you know you forget about it. So I like that aspect of it, but I think the enforcement of a belt system would just be so.
It's a goal, convoluted. Something to work for.
I mean, we actually did it for 3 years. So I mean, everyone else can guess about it or say. I saw some business guy talking about how it was necessary. It's like, listen, you didn't do it. We did it for 3 years, and I can tell you exactly how it went. And that's like that. It's just not. It's not necessary, and it's really hard from a functional perspective to actually do it because of other factors in wrestling.
It's also go ahead, Ben. Sorry.
Yeah, obviously, as a coach, I mean, to your point, Coach, like, yeah, you are 100% right that you should have kind of a path that you want your wrestlers to go through. And I actually thought it was just really cool. So we just did the AWA duels. Actually, it was covered by Flo. But one of our guys, Caden, put together a highlight video. And for me, it was so fun to watch because you're seeing wrestlers from five different academies. And as I'm watching, they're all doing the same techniques, right? Because we coach the same stuff. And so it was like one match I was coaching, and it was like back to back to back. It was like, reinforced bar, reinforced bar, reinforced bar to a Turk, to a pin. And it was like wrestlers from three different academies, you know? So we have our system and they're all hitting the same moves, and that, yes, that should be the goal of the coaches. And I think we can do that without a belt system.
You like the reinforced bar?
One of our main series on top is chop to wrist. And then you have, once you have the wrist, you have Turk, roll through, tilt, reinforced bar, transition to a bar. Yeah. So that's one of our better series.
Spencer Lee likes to reinforce.
Spencer Lee's pretty good at it also.
Pretty good.
He might be as good as some of our guys at it.
Send him some pointers.
Belt system's also good for people who actually don't compete. Like, there's a lot of people in jiu-jitsu and taekwondo and karate who don't compete at all. They just want to learn, like, a martial art or self-defense or whatever. And so it's something to work for if you're not competing at all.
That's true.
Not that many people that just do wrestling for fun.
Yeah, and then, you know, the other thing about that is, you know, we found we actually really, and we still do more so than other people, but push back on competition at an early age. We've kind of almost eased up on that, where I still think like our 5 through 7-year-olds, we don't really want them to compete, but we used to be kind of 5 through 9. But now the way I feel is like at kind of that 8, 9 age, I think they should be doing a handful of tournaments. Maybe, you know, I'm not saying get 40 matches, but I'm saying get like, you know, I don't know, 6 to 12 matches somewhere in there, 8, 9 years old, and then 10, 11, we do a few more. Whereas before it was like, we don't want them doing any matches till age 10. I don't really feel that way anymore. I think at 8 and 9, they should be getting a couple. 5 through 7, I'm in those matches.
Got it. Next question for Ben. We have two incoming freshmen who go to 12 practices a week. How do we keep them engaged or enthusiastic without burning them out or overstepping our bounds between the parent-coach relationship?
So I kind of almost I didn't really understand this question a little bit, because like so are they their club coaches and they're going to their practices, or like I guess I don't really totally. Do you understand exactly what they're asking?
No, here? But I think the broader point is there's this person doing 12 practices.
How are you getting 12? So, like at AWA, for example, we have 3 practices per week, but if you're a member, you can go to any of the academies. So theoretically, you could hit 6 per week because, you know, some have Monday, Wednesday, Sunday, some have Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So you could hit 6. I don't even know how you would hit 12. Maybe they're letting them do multiple practices per night, but you know, we don't, I don't know how they're doing this. I would say if the kid's highly motivated, there's a couple of kids I've had, but 12 still a lot. I don't even know how they're finding the time to do this. I'm not really sure. If the kids are highly motivated, then sure. I would have to kind of look at the overall thing, but a lot of times the parents are kind of enforcing that. So it's hard to say without knowing a very exact situation.
Gotcha. Ben, how'd you like the breakfast tacos?
They were delicious. They were so good. It was so good. Austin, you guys are so spoiled down there. There's so many good places to eat. It's like you can't walk a block. I mean, like the 1,000th best place in Austin is like still way better than like the first best place here in Lake Country. I mean, me and my wife, we went to a little Bitcoin thing on Friday morning, and then we were walking home. We had to check out at the hotel, and it was like, hey, where are we going to eat? And it's like, oh, let's just stop somewhere. And stop somewhere. It was like, oh my God, these tacos are so good. You know, it's just like this random place we're walking by, and it's freaking delicious.
Okay, speaking of not breakfast tacos, I don't think – listen, Tony Cassiope, this man
he ain't eating any breakfast tacos.
No breakfast tacos. Check this man out. Oh, my gracious. I mean, listen, he was like just a strong-looking heavyweight guy. Now he's all trimmed up. What do you think his secret is, Ben?
Could it be Photoshopped?
Could it be Photoshopped? No. No way. No,
I think it's probably unlikely. I mean, so obviously he went on a diet because he looks very lean in this picture here on the right with Coach Brands. I mean, he's only looking like he's 250, right? So good for him. I hope he moves faster. Maybe he's more effective. I'm not sure.
He looks strong to quite strong. Big tone. Lean tone. He's still big tone.
Yeah. And we saw him at
Slim Tone.
We saw
Slim
him in tone. May. We saw him in May at Senior Nationals, and he didn't look like that on the right. So
dang.
It's a quick transformation.
A Senior Nationals where he beat Don Bradley, Big tone.
Mm-hmm. Big tone. Slim tone. Who knows?
Maybe, well, you know, maybe it's not as good.
Yeah, sometimes I go back and forth with the heavyweight thing because obviously even if you're not as lean but you know how to use your mass, mass matters, right? There's no arguing with that. And so if he's lost, probably looks like 30-ish pounds. I mean, it looks like a lot of weight. Let's say 30 pounds or so. Maybe he's a little faster, and is that going to make up for the loss of mass? Because mass does matter. Even if it's fat, if you know how to use it the right way, it's effective.
Yes. Okay. Next question from CP Talk. I watched Flow Grappling's Who's Number One this past weekend. It was phenomenal. How can we capture this feel for wrestling? It feels like wrestling's primary sphere of control is media marketing, while grappling is tied directly into events. Any takeaways from Who's Number One for us? So I would say...
Yeah. Kirsten, can you tell me exactly what they mean by that exact comment, like the media marketing? I didn't quite get that. What do you think?
Well, I'm not entirely sure either. That's what I was going to say. I don't know what they – I mean, the businesses are very similar. We do similar things. Now, the difference is they're able to put on this – the difference is they put on this tournament and we haven't. And I would say if you want to look at why is this happening on grappling and not on wrestling, I would say – it's a lot easier to get the elite jiu-jitsu people to do something like this, whereas wrestling, it's very difficult. And if you look at the finalists for some of these weights, you had two 18-year-olds win, the Rutolos. You had a 17-year-old in the finals. You had 16-year-olds. So these guys, those would be college athletes, the 18-year-olds. And college coaches are reluctant to get their guys in competition. We can't pay college athletes to wrestle. At this point, that's an obstacle for sure. And grappling is constructed very differently, right? They've got, there are some similarities in that they have ADCC, which is Olympics-esque.
But that's also only every 2 years.
Every 2 years. There's IBJJF, which is sort of similar to UWW, though definitely not a one-to-one.
It's not on that level, right? Because don't a lot of people skip the IBJJFs? Like, I feel like it's not thought of as highly where it is in wrestling. Like, I mean, here's how I thought about it, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, because you probably know more now than I am not paying attention to the jiu-jitsu world super closely. Like, in wrestling, if you are the best in the world, you're going to go to the world championships. And there's not really anyone arguing that they're the best in the world who doesn't go to the UWW worlds. Whereas in jiu-jitsu, I feel like lots of times the people who were the best didn't also go. Like, I think in my era, like, I don't feel like Marcelo Garcia usually went to IBJJFs, and he was widely thought of as the best in the world. Is that correct or false?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. The difference is the NCAA worlds and IOC.
Yeah. I think
that wrestlers view that as the peak.
Yeah. And you look at how long the sport's been around, and like think about, I don't know, 100 years ago when they were setting up the NCAA wrestling, like, oh, this will be a good idea to like have wrestling in college and then have the world championships. And it's like for jiu-jitsu, it's like kind of now, it's like, what is the best way to get like competitors in a big tournament? It's like, we get to create that, right? Yeah. And it's like, we don't have the ability to, the same freedom to do that with wrestling right now.
True.
Got it.
So we want to do that in wrestling. We want to have that. And hopefully we can. Let's see. Someone wants to know about my stickers. All my stickers are pretty much flow related except for P. Terry's, which is a great, it's the best burger place in Austin. And then there's Daisy Fresh, which these guys, while we're talking about jiu-jitsu, you should definitely watch our Daisy Fresh documentary series on flow grappling. These dudes are savages. They train out of the old abandoned laundromat in Mount Vernon, Illinois, which is not a great place. And actually, this weekend on flow grappling, they had a guy who was not even in the field. He got the call Sunday. He was 30 pounds over. He cut down to 185. And this dude took third in the bracket, brought home $8,500. So shout out Jacob Couch, the Hillbilly Hammer. Awesome dude.
Hillbilly Hammer. What a great
this
name.
Kid is awesome. We got a documentary about him. You should check it out.
You don't have to like jiu-jitsu at all. Daisy Fresh.
You don't need to know the first thing about jiu-jitsu to like this story. It's really cool. Next question. This is a dramatic question. We love the drama, though. But does Dake have the most pressure to bring home gold? He's in his prime and in a very depleted field. Not weak, though. What do you think, Ben?
No, I don't feel like that at all.
Who's okay? Yeah, who's the person that if they don't win, you're like, oh my gosh. Because if David loses, I mean, it's he just won the Olympics.
Surprised by it. I'd be most surprised if David lost. I gotta feel like Kyle Snyder's like, hey, I don't know if they even feel the pressure in the way that you're describing or this guy is describing. You know, if Snyder loses Sagulayev again, that'll be probably pretty deflating because now it'll be three in a row.
Would Jaden be more?
Jaden would be. I mean, but Jaden also just lost at that tournament. I'm kind of thinking that's fluky right now. Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking more around the circumstances of like what happened with Jaden at the trials.
Yeah.
And you come back, you lose your first tournament, and you're the 2-time defending champ. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough question because I don't really think of them to me their standards won't be lowered if they don't win. I'll be obviously disappointed, but it's like, I think of them as not as good.
Yeah,
it's hard to think. I would be thinking like, what the heck happened to Kyle Dake because he was looking so good, and then he beat Jordan Burroughs, and now he lost to that one dude. Now he lost someone else.
If Jordan doesn't win,
he's already a made man. He's won five world titles.
He is a made man. But I think if he doesn't win this field, then you have to start, is his window to win world championships over? He doesn't win this field.
It's starting to close. Yeah.
That will be the conversation if he doesn't, though we don't think that's going to happen.
David would be shocking if he doesn't win with this field.
David can't be that shocking. If Yazdani beats Dake. Him. He said David.
Yeah. So I said David, then he said Dake, yeah.
Right. That's what I'm. Dake not winning would be shocking, but I think
it took David to the final 20 seconds to beat Yazdani. He did win, but do not forget that was a very close match.
It also is three in a row, and I feel like Yazdani really wrestled the ideal match in order to make it that close. And obviously, the other two weren't as close. Mm-hmm. So,
he almost cautioned him out in match one, and then just died.
That's got to be so deflating.
Yeah.
To be that close and then lose. Okay, anything else in here before we...
No, have well, a safe trip. So tomorrow, is it just me and you, JD, tomorrow, and that's it, or what?
Hey, I might be able to call in at least on the phone or something, because we should be in Norway by that point in time.
Okay. Right? I think Bray's going to hop on as well, David okay. Bray.
Yeah, we'll be
Bray, and we can harass him about not updating the high school 2022 ranking. Bray, you got to get this done, baby.
Yeah,
let's go. Hop on him today.
Fire him for 20 minutes. Just like you did Kozak before that's he was right. even hired.
He's fired tomorrow if he Light doesn't, fire he doesn't do them. Mm-hmm. We'll give him a week. Bray, you have a week, and then you're fired.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. We should get some updated classes 2022 before the Super 32, though, for sure, because then we can have them re-updated after Super 32. Because I looked at, like, you guys had effing Hunter Garvin at 99, which he's very clearly higher than that. And there's someone else you had really low.
All right, we get it, Ben. Jeez.
They need to be done.
All right. Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow. Maybe I'll be there. Maybe I won't. Ben will. He'll peruse the site and find more things to ridicule us about and fire people. We're going to Oslo, baby! Team USA coming for not one, but two world titles. We'll get more into the ladies' competition as we get a little closer to that. For JD Rader and John Kozak, I'm Christian Piles. We gotta go to the airport. Goodbye.